Well, good morning, Discovery Community Church. I hope you had a fantastic Thanksgiving. And you know, this is the first Sunday after Thanksgiving. You know what it means? It means Christmas is coming. Each week, as we lead up to Christmas, we're going to be celebrating Advent and having some fantastic times of worship together. Now, this morning, you're going to be blessed. You might not be aware of this, but Discovery operates with four unique campuses. This online campus, and then three in-person experiences all through Pierce County. This morning, you're going to get to meet some of our site leads. You're going to get to meet Jesse, who's the site lead at Tacoma. He's going to be teaching this morning. You're going to be so blessed by his teaching. And you're also going to get to meet this morning, Star. Star is our site lead in Lakewood, and she's going to be hosting our experience this morning. We're so glad that you've joined us, and I look forward to having a fantastic time of worship, and I look forward to Christmas. God bless.
Good morning, Discovery Church. I'm so excited to be with you this morning. Welcome to Discovery's live stream. My name is Star McMillan, and I'm the campus lead at Discovery Lakewood. And I'm so thankful to be here with you this morning. I hope you guys had a good Thanksgiving week. I know it looked a little strange, maybe a little different for you, but I hope you were able to celebrate with those closest to you. I know for us it looked a little different, a little quieter, a little smaller, but we still managed to do the things that are most important to us, to gather together and to give thanks to God for all that he's done. We went around the table and shared the things, our favorite things about Thanksgiving, but also the things that we've been thankful for, which is such a great exercise, such a great primer as we enter the holiday season and prepare ourselves for Christmas. One of the things I shared that I'm most thankful for is what God is doing in and through Discovery and through his pop-ups, his sites. You know, Lakewood is about a month and a half old. We're pretty young still, and yet we've seen new people come. We even got to have Discovery's first baptism since COVID just 2 weeks ago. So there's a lot to celebrate. Even in this strange season, I hope you're able to find things to be thankful for that God has blessed you with. He definitely is doing some beautiful things out there and in your home, hopefully. Well, speaking of beautiful things, we just finished up. We wrapped up Missions Month this November, and last week was our Commitment Sunday. You know, we got to hear stories from our local and global partners and get to hear how Discovery has been part of some really beautiful things that God's doing. We invite you to continue to pray for those things that are going on locally and around the world. Well, I want to share a little bit with you about the results of Commitment Sunday. You know, even though we're navigating COVID, dozens of you leaned in, you filled out those commitment cards, and you made a commitment to either pray, to give, and or to go. So we're excited to share some of those things with you. You know, you might be wondering how, what exactly funds Discovery's missions. There's two ways that we fund it. First, every dollar that goes into our general fund, a portion of that does go into missions, but mostly it comes from our missions fund. And so this last month, that's what we've been pouring into as your specific missions giving goes into that fund. And I'm excited to tell you and to celebrate with you that we are now 69% of the way to our goal. So thank you so much for your generosity in being a part of Missions Month. And if you missed last week, or you just haven't quite gotten there yet, or maybe you've discussed it with your family, but you haven't given that commitment, it is not too late. You can still give to our missions. We are praying for them around the year. And of course, we're also praying, giving, and going around the year for our missions. Well, before we start, I want to give you a few ideas for ways that you can make your experience online a little bit more rich. First, interact with us. If you're on Facebook, click that like button, drop in a heart, or even a comment of what God's teaching you through this morning. Send your prayer requests to our text to prayer line. We are praying for you through the week, and we will share some of those prayer requests later in our service today. Or if you're using our website, you can get to the connection card in the notes section. Either way, whichever way you're worshiping with us this morning, make it a time of connection for you. So we're going to start our worship this Sunday with Advent. This is the first week of Advent. And there's something I got to tell you about Discovery. We love kids. We love families, and we love Christmas. So this last week, our Discovery Kids team has been delivering these Advent wreaths to many families at Discovery so we can have a way to celebrate Advent with our kids and kind of break down each week and each theme. And so we'll be doing that this morning with you as well. So if you have one of these wreaths, today being the first week, we're going to light the candle of hope right here. So as you twist that on, or maybe you have your own Advent wreath at home, feel free to light that. I'm going to read a little verse about why we have hope. This verse is from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, and it says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." You know, we are a people of hope because we know God has been faithful, the God who was, who is, and who will be. So we're thankful to celebrate Advent and bring in the Christmas season, reminding ourselves of the aspects of God. Well, today's message has been brought to you by another pop-up leader, Jesse Holcomb, from the Tacoma campus. As you ready your heart for God, we want you to listen to this amazing song. But before we do that, let me pray for us so we can ready our hearts together. If you would, bow with me in prayer. Lord, thank you for this privilege we have to worship you together this morning. We celebrate the hope we have in you and the hope we have in celebrating your birth this Christmas. Thank you for your presence in our lives and in our families and opportunities to share your presence and hope with others. Amen. Let's worship together.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. My confidence, you never fail me yet. I know the night won't last, your word will come to pass. We'll sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Still in your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet. No, you never fail me yet. And I never.
Good morning, Discovery. My name is Jesse, your Tacoma campus lead and church planter in residence here. I'm so excited to start and kick off a two-week sermon series with you today. The title of the series is The Gray, and the title of today's message is Into the Gray. Over the past months and over 11 chapters, we've followed Abraham into the gray. The gray for Abraham has oftentimes, it's been the unknown, it's been difficult, it's been God calling him out of comfort and into something new and into something scary. I don't know about you, but living in Western Washington, I am familiar with the gray. It's that morning that you wake up and it's dark, it's foggy, it's pouring down rain. And oftentimes, it's the gray moments in our lives where we need faith the most. Throughout Abraham's life, we've watched him walk into the gray. With his initial call, we saw him be pushed into something new where he had to trust God and have faith. And throughout 11 chapters, we've seen Abraham have great success and great failures in this. The times that he's trusted God and had faith, he's moved forward and moved into the promises that God has for him. But there has been time where he's tried to take control of situations and manipulate and lie even sometimes. And it never worked out great. And he ended up actually hurting those closest to him. So you're saying, what is the gray? The gray is the unknown. The gray is when stakes are high and we don't know the outcome. I don't know about you, but this last year has been filled with the gray. It's been filled with the unknown. If you would have asked me a year ago what 2020 was going to look like, this is not what I would have picked. And if you would ask me right now, what's 2021 going to look like? I have no idea anymore. The gray can be hard and the gray can be difficult. Now, the unknown, it's a very real thing. And what I want to acknowledge today is that all of us are going through a gray time in our lives. We all have different things we're struggling through, different tests and trials that we're going through, and we don't want to diminish people's pain, people's hurt, and the hard things that we're going through. So today, we're not going to wrap it up with a bow. We're not going to have a perfect answer to all the problems, but we are going to try to walk through and learn from Abraham how he navigates the unknown, the difficult, and the gray moments of life. The story that we're going to find Abraham in today is arguably the apex of his story. It's where everything comes together. It's where his lifetime of faith, of failing and moving forward, it all comes together with probably the greatest task he's ever been given, the greatest thing that God is ever going to ask him to do, the hardest thing that God is ever going to ask him to do, and he moves through it with faith and in obedience, and we can learn from him a ton in the gray. If you have your Bibles today, we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, first book of the Bible. And when you get there, let's read it together. It says this: Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, and here I am, Abraham replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey, took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Let's pray. Father God, we lift you up today. We acknowledge that life is hard. Life is oftentimes not filled with black and white, but it's gray and it's difficult and it's unknown and it's challenging. I pray today that we have open hearts and open ears to learn from Abraham to walk into the gray with greater faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So this passage, let's acknowledge it is a very difficult passage to read. It's a very difficult passage to understand. A lot has been written about why God would ask Abraham to do this thing, and also why Abraham would even consider going through with it. In Hebrews, the author of Hebrews talks about Abraham knowing that if he was going to have to kill his son, that God would have resurrected him. Now, I don't know about you, but that doesn't make what Abraham's doing any easier. It's still an incredible task, and it's an incredibly hard thing that God is asking Abraham to do. And I want to acknowledge that today, that this is a really, really hard portion of Scripture. But I also want to point out that oftentimes, this is what our life is like as well. I'm sure as Abraham is on this three-day journey, he's asking God, God, why am I going through with this? God, why are you asking this of me? God, I don't understand. And oftentimes in the unknown, in the hard things we're going through, we ask God those same questions. It's in these moments, in these tests, as the writer of Genesis says, that we can grow into greater faith and understanding of God. And what I love about this test of Abraham is it's not a test to build faith. It's a test for faith to be brought out. Because faith isn't built in these huge, courageous moments. It's revealed over time. And that's what Abraham is really learning here. He's walking through and he's had all these moments in life where he's had to have faith, where he's had to learn, where he's had to grow. And here he is in this most important task he's ever had to do. And he's walking in faith. I've had moments of gray in my life. I remember being 23 years old, and my wife Stephanie and I, we were expecting our first child, Ava. And when you have a kid and you're getting ready for that first kid, you have a plan. You know exactly how it's going to go. You know how it's going to play out. You have the perfect idea of what they're going to look like and what their personality is going to be. And we had everything set up. We had the car seat in. We had the room prepared. And she was actually due December 24th. She was going to be a Christmas Eve baby. And we were ready. That was the plan. And December 24th came and went. And the plan, we're like, what's going on? Why isn't she here? Where is this kid? And of course, December 25th, Christmas rolls around. And we rushed to the hospital, as you do in those moments. And we spent all Christmas Day in the hospital. And I remember over the course of those couple days, we had this perfect plan of what it was supposed to be like, of what having our first kid was going to be like. And I remember we go to the 26th and she's still not here. And my wife, she's courageous and she's working hard and I'm courageous. I'm working hard because, you know, I'm standing there, you know, so I'm being supportive. I'm doing my part. And there's a moment where the doctor comes in and he looks at us and he says, we're going to have an emergency C-section. And it's in this moment that, I don't know about you, but the word emergency, it doesn't fill me with confidence. It doesn't fill me with excitement. It doesn't make me feel like everything is going to be okay. It's the unknown. It's scary. It's hard. It's difficult. And I remember in that moment, not knowing how to respond. They rush her out of the room and I'm sitting in there alone. The nurses are gone. The doctor's gone. It's just me in this room. And I can't take control of the situation. I have no authority to make this be any different. But here we are. And I just had to trust the professionals. I had to trust people knew better than I did. And I had to move forward in faith in the unknown. Maybe you're in a moment like that today. Maybe there are things in your life that you can't control the situation and you almost feel like you're along for the ride. But I want to encourage us today that there are things that we can do to have greater faith in the gray. So the first things we want to do today is we want to identify, what does the gray look like? What are the things that make up the gray, that make up the unknown? What makes it so difficult to act when things are this hard? And the first one that we need to acknowledge today is that it's gray when there are blurred lines. There are blurred lines in this life. There are things and situations that it just doesn't look clear. And these blurred lines are external things, a situation. There are so many hard things in life, so many unknowns in life that you're going to be going through that you can't control, that I can't control. Not one person here can control a global pandemic. Not one person here can typically control another. We can't control other people that we're in relationship with. You can't control your boss. You can't control your place of employment. And oftentimes there are things that are so far outside of our control that we just have no ability to change. But the thing that Abraham did that I think is so powerful is Abraham recognized what God had done for him in the past. And I believe that in this moment, instead of doing what he had done back then, he decided to do something different. He decided to have faith and move forward into the gray. See, in the past, when Abraham was called into the unknown, when Abraham was tasked with doing difficult things, he would lie. At one point, he throws his wife under the bus, right? He would try to take matters into his own hands. He would try to bargain with God. He would do all these things to try to change the situation, but there's nothing he could do about it. I think about those gray mornings, and I think about when fog comes in and it's so dense and it's choking you and you're driving down the road and you can't see 5 feet in front of you. It makes it really hard to navigate. But the thing that's true is that you can't make the fog go away. You can't change it. But if you've been down that road before, then you have a pretty good understanding of where it's going to go. I had a best friend growing up who lived at the end of a long dirt road filled with potholes. And I drove down that road so many times as a teenager that I could navigate it with my eyes shut. I knew where to kind of go off the road. I knew where to turn. I knew where to straddle two potholes so I wouldn't tear my car up. I knew how to navigate it because I'd been down this road so many times. This is where Abraham is at. He's been down this road so many times. He's tried to change the situation. He's tried to bargain with God so many times that in this moment, he doesn't do that. On that 3-day journey, there's not a point where you hear him bargaining with God, arguing with God. I'm sure in his heart he's praying. I'm sure he's thinking of how he could get out of it. But at no point does he actually try to do something different. That's incredible to me. That's what I want to do. And if you're sitting here today, there are things that God has brought you through. You've been down this road before. And so I would encourage us to look past the blurred lines and recognize that we've been down this road before. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, it says this, "There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death." There are things that we may think are the right way to go. We might try to take this shortcut because we think it's going to work. We might try to go down this way because we think it's the right way that we need to go. But at the end of the day, many of those things make situations much worse. The second thing that makes life gray is it's gray when we have distorted vision. So the blurred lines are external things, are things that we can't control. But oftentimes what makes moving into difficult things so hard is that we have distorted vision. This is all about us. And we have a really, really hard time seeing into difficult situations and understanding the outcome. See, the thing about Abraham here is this story would have been so much simpler if God would have told Abraham the outcome, right? If God would have said, hey, Abraham, buddy, guess what? I'm going to ask you to do this really hard thing, but at the end of the day, I'm going to change it up. You're going to be fine. Don't worry about it, right? That would be easy. Abraham would have no problem. They said, yeah, let's do it. But that's not what happens. See, oftentimes we want the outcome of the gray. We want to know that everything is going to be okay. Before taking that leap of faith, before trusting God, before moving into the unknown, oftentimes we want assurance that everything is going to be all right. But Abraham didn't have all the information he needed, and more often than not, we don't either. I think the biggest obstacle to our vision and us seeing into the gray and knowing that God is going to help us with the outcome is oftentimes our own comfort. We love comfort. I don't know about you, but at home, I have a closet filled with blankets. A whole closet just with blankets. There's a multi-million dollar industry. It blows me away that there was someone who said, man, a blanket's not good enough. Let's make a blanket with a hood and call it a Snuggie. And people pay money for a Snuggie. That's amazing to me. We love comfort. When you go out to buy a car, oftentimes you buy a car that's going to make you the most comfortable. We have seat warmers, guys. We love comfort. Our life is often built around not what's going to grow us, not what's going to make us more faithful towards Jesus, but what's going to make us comfortable. Everything from our jobs to where we choose to live to how we raise our kids oftentimes comes down to our own comfort. And that comfort causes distorted vision. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says this, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I feel oftentimes we'd rather have our own comfort. We'd rather reward ourselves with things that help us feel safe than trust God in faith and move into the unknown and into the gray. So oftentimes this comfort is going to be the greatest obstacle we have in life to transformation and moving into the future that God has for us. So this is the gray. It's the external. It's the blurred lines. It's situations we can't control. And then it's also our own distorted vision, how we don't see situations clearly. We don't have a God's eye perspective. We don't get to see it all. And so we're so limited sometimes that it makes it really hard. So the question is today, how do we move into the gray? And again, I want to acknowledge that if I give you 4 points and say, this is how you're going to do it, this is how you're going to overcome the gray, you're going to overcome challenges, that would be foolish. We can't just say, these are the 4 things you need to do and your life is going to be okay. But we do believe that there are biblical characteristics of people that move into the gray and come out the other side, faithful believers. So the big idea today is that if you're going to move into the gray, we need to proceed with caution. When life is foggy, when life is dark, when life is difficult, we don't rush headlong into it. We don't take off 100 miles per hour, but we do proceed, and we proceed with caution. And the first thing in proceeding with caution is that we need to be still and seek God. In Psalms 46:10, it says this, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The reason why we have be still and seek God first is that oftentimes my first reaction is to react. When something is hard, when something is difficult, I want to just get after it. I want to solve the problem. I want to fix it. But I think more often than not, we need to be still and seek God. We are constantly under pressure. We are constantly being hit with information, whether that's media, social media, TV, radio. We're constantly being bombarded with information. And oftentimes, being still is the hardest thing we can do. But what we find in Scripture time and time again, even with Jesus, is he finds time to be still, to get away, to ask questions, to figure out where God wants him to go next. So be still and seek God. The second thing, it's easy to say, but it's pray. Pray. Oftentimes when faced with the gray, we move into the gray and we ask God to bless what we're doing instead of doing what he blesses. And then oftentimes our prayers when we're in those hard things look a little bit like this. God, take this away. God, I don't want to go through this anymore. Please remove this from my life. God, they're being difficult. Please change them. Oftentimes those are our prayers in the middle of hard things and hard times. In Ephesians chapter 6, it says this, verse 18, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." I love that. We can go to God in any situation, good, bad, in between, and we can pray and we can request of him. But I think we'll have powerful prayers if we can align our prayers with God's will for our life. And so when I'm in the gray, instead of praying, God, take this away from me, God, remove this from my life, my prayer is, God, I want to be aligned with you. And if I have to walk through this, strengthen me, be with me, and I want to walk into the gray with faith. The third thing is seek direction in Scripture. What I love about the Bible is that the Bible is not a rule book. It's not 10 rules and you're going to have a great life. But what it is, it's a history of God's relationship with us, with his people. And in those relationships that God has, we can see all of these different life lessons. We can see how people navigate faith well and how they don't. And when I read a story like Abraham's, it gives me great encouragement that this guy, our father of faith, who messes up all the time, he's still considered the father of faith. I love that. And that gives me hope. And so when I go into Scripture and I read the Bible, I learn from these great heroes. And I can see, man, there's hope for a guy like me. I love that. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." I love that. When we follow the rhythms and the rhymes of Scripture, we can see these heroes having that same trajectory, trusting God, moving in faith. We can learn from them. The last thing, when we proceed with caution, is find a co-pilot. Find someone to do life with. This is the great thing about discovery, about people that are here, about small groups, about being creative, Zoom calls, and all this fun stuff, is that life is better when we do it together. It doesn't mean it's always easier, right? I think of all the times that my wife and I were in a car together and she's giving me directions and there's the headbutting that happens. But I would much rather be in the gray in my car with her than by myself. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22, it says this, "Plans go wrong for a lack of advice. Many advisors bring success." Find people in life who are doing what you want to do or going in the direction you want to go. Stephanie and I, we've been married for 11 years now, and I want to hang out with people who have been married for 20 years. I want to hang out with people who have been married for 30 years. We have kids. I want to hang out with people who have teenagers because I want to learn from them. So often in the past, I've heard people say, "I just have to learn from my own mistakes." I don't get that at all. I don't love that. I don't want to learn from my own mistakes if I don't have to. I want to learn from their mistakes and their mistakes. See, having people, having co-pilots around you that have been where you've been, that have been down the roads you've been down, is so helpful. The thing I love about the story and the thing I love about Abraham in all of this is that when God calls him, when God says, "Abraham," Abraham's response is, "Here I am." Oftentimes, our response is not, "Here I am." Oftentimes, our response is to try to run in the opposite direction. Our response is to try to argue or bargain with God. Our response is to try to take matters into our own hands. But I want to be like Abraham, and I want to be someone who says, "Here I am," when I'm asked to do difficult things. So how do we move forward, right? How do we understand right now, if you're in the gray, what are things that we need to know, that we need to take out into this in everyday life? And the first thing is this, that failure isn't final. Failure isn't final. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3, it says this, "Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." Failure isn't final. If Abraham would have given up the first time he failed, then he wouldn't be the father of faith. Then he wouldn't have gotten to where he'd get. We wouldn't have this great story, this great legacy of him, if he would have given up the first time he failed. And it's the same thing for us. We are going to mess up in the hard things in life. We're not always going to do it right. We're going to hurt people we love the most. But we have to believe and we have to know that our failure isn't final, that we can still get up, that we can still move forward, that we can still be known as people of faith. Now, failure isn't final kind of has two meanings as well. It also means that your failure, it's not final. You're probably going to continue messing up. There's not a point where you're just going to be perfect and have this faith thing down. There's always going to be moments where you're going to take a step back when you should be moving forward. And I would encourage us that even when we do that, even when we don't have the faith that we feel like we need to have, that we can still move forward in faith, knowing that we are not defined by our failures the same way Abraham was not defined by his. And the last thing today is just encouragement. Encouragement to persevere. In James chapter 1, verse 2, Jesus writes this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds," any kinds of trials, "because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." I love that. We persevere through the hard things and we won't lack anything because we'll be mature. I think the greatest thing in this passage is in Genesis 22. It's the first time in the entire Bible that love is mentioned. Love isn't mentioned in creation. It's not mentioned with Adam and Eve. It's not mentioned with Noah. It's mentioned right here when he says, "I want you to take your son, your only son, who you love, Isaac." And I believe in that moment, what God is really getting at is he's asking Abraham a promise. He's saying, "Abraham, do you trust the promise that I've given you, Isaac, or do you trust me, the promise giver?" Oftentimes, we feel like we're going to lack something, that we're going to lack things if we step into the gray. We have a fear of losing what we have. And I believe that there's an opportunity in the gray to gain a better understanding and a better idea of the character of God. And we can learn that in faith, that we don't have to lack anything. I would pray for you today. God, I pray for anybody here today that's in the gray, that's going through the hard times. I pray today that they would genuinely, that they would seek you in scripture, seek you in prayer, that they would be able to be still. I pray that they would reach out to those of us around them that want to come alongside them, that want to walk with them in this hard time. I pray that we would be a people of faith, that we wouldn't step back from the challenges of life, but we would step into them, knowing that you are the highest thing. You are our priority in love, and that we put the promise down to follow the promise keeper. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great week, guys.
Jesse, you know, I am struck by Abraham's story and his faith in stepping out so boldly into this 3-day trek into the gray, not knowing exactly what God had in store, but stepping out in faith anyway. I hope this encourages you as much as it did me to build our faith so that we can step out boldly, even when we're in the midst of the gray. You know, today Jesse reminded us that we can build our faith through prayer, so including praying for one another. So we're going to pray for our prayer requests together today. These are prayer requests that came through our text to prayer line, and I certainly welcome you to continue to send those in. If you haven't this week, feel free to do it right now. We'll be praying for those throughout the week and include them in next Sunday's service. So a few of the prayer requests we got were for babies. We can celebrate with one of our Discovery families who welcomed a new baby into their family. We also have a baby due very soon, so we're going to pray for health and safety for that baby. We also have a family who has a young baby with some feeding issues and some sleep issues, and that's such a difficult stage, so we're going to pray for their stamina. We're going to pray for sleep. We're going to pray for healing for that baby, that we can resolve some of those issues. We also have a family with a newborn nephew who passed, and so we will be lifting up not only our Discovery family, but their relatives as well, who are navigating through that tough season. Another theme that we had quite a bit of was jobs. We can celebrate and praise for several new jobs in our Discovery family. And although we're celebrating, we can also pray for those jitters, that kind of first job anxiety, and for wisdom as they kind of learn the ropes and navigate their new jobs. We're also continuing to lift up those who are still looking for a job, for encouragement in their search, for stamina, and that God would guide their feet to open doors for a new job. We're also going to include some requests for housing, better housing, people wanting to move or find something that's a better fit for their new situation in life. I'd also like to lift up families. We have a lot of prayer requests. If you've been feeling pressure or just strain at home, you are not alone. This is a tough season on families. So we're going to pray for those members who don't know the Lord. We're also going to pray for some family relationships in general, and that God would bring comfort in those painful places and health in those unhealthy areas. We're going to be praying and lifting up marriages as well. And of course, for many of us, we might be feeling that mental health strain as well, dealing with some depression and anxiety in a year that's really unknown like any other. So let's lift these prayer requests up and let's just join together in prayer. This is what I love about prayer, is that even though you might be in your living room or in your slippers and I'm here, we can join together and reach our hands out and pray for our brothers and sisters right now together. And God moves when we pray. So let's pray together. Lord, I just lift up families who are experiencing strain right now. Lord, relationships that are hard and there's not really a place to go. Lord, it's hard to get space sometimes. It brings out those things that are the weak areas in us and the strain. Lord, I pray that this could turn into an opportunity for growth. Lord, I pray for protection from the enemy. Lord, that anger and hurt, Lord, would be healed and that real healing could begin. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen and uphold marriages and families. Lord, I lift up those babies in our families. Lord, I thank you and praise you for a new life that has been added. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen and uphold families who have lost a young life. Lord, I pray that they would lean on you like never before and come to know you and come to have greater faith because of this loss. And Lord, I pray the same thing for a family dealing with sleep and feeding issues, Lord. That is such a difficult time when night times are more awake than asleep. God, I pray that you would give them stamina as well. Give them peace. Lord, I pray that you would give them just a supernatural self-control, Lord, that the Holy Spirit could uphold them and keep them in check when they've had those long sleepless nights. God, I pray that the season would pass. We pray for healing for that baby. We pray that these issues could be resolved. Give wisdom to those doctors. Lord, we also lift up jobs. God, we have a lot of members that are searching for jobs. And God, we pray that you would just guide their feet to open doors to jobs that can provide. God, you are the great provider. And that's really what we're asking for, God, is that you would provide. Lord, find a good fit for those in our body that are looking for jobs, God. We ask for those right now. And Lord, we praise you for the jobs and the provision that has happened. God, thank you for those that have found new jobs. We pray that you would be a very real presence as they walk into these new environments and learn new things. God, we pray that you give them peace and confidence. Lord, subside any anxiety that might be going on. Lord, we also lift up those who are suffering from any mental health issues. God, this is a hard year, and even though Christmas is a season of joy, God, oftentimes this is when our anxiety and depression can feel more poignant than ever. Lord, I pray that you would uphold just the mental health of those who are feeling this. God, I pray that your truth and your peace would be evident and would be a voice that continues to remind them. God, use your Holy Spirit as a voice to remind them of what is true and what is real, that you are good and that you love them. God, I pray for all of us that as we enter into this beautiful Christmas season, Lord, that you would help remind us that it's not about pressure, it's not about doing all the things, but God, that it's about being still, leaning into the beautiful, quiet thing that happened when Christ came into this world as a baby. God, I pray that this could be the season that we do get a chance to cuddle with our family, to lean in to what the season really is about. God, help this be a season of peace. When all the parties can't happen, that this is the year we can actually enjoy your peace and the quietness of the season and the bright light in the dark areas of our family. God, I thank you so much for your reminder of hope, this reminder of faith that we got this morning as well. Lord, I pray that this could just breathe new life into our week. God, what a wonderful way to start the week. We lift these things up to you, Lord, in your name. Amen. Well, I want to thank you so much for sharing your prayer requests with us, for sharing your morning with us, and for entering into this first week of Advent leading up to Christmas. Next week, we'll finish up this two-week series, The Gray, with the second of the series called Out of the Gray, where we'll get to follow Abraham's journey of faith. Before we close with one last song, I want to encourage you to enjoy some time remembering God's hope. I'm praying for you, and I hope that all of us have a chance to share that hope and that light with someone this week. Have a great week.
Just sing.